Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the 15th installment. This is the 15th installment for the book, The Guide, Teachings and Stories of Sidi Sheikh Muhammad al-Sayyid al-Jamal al-Rifai. This chapter that we're going to be delving into today is starting on page 160, and it's called The Determination of Sufism. It goes up to another chapter called The Signposts of the Way to God. And I think that might be, it's a longer chapter. We'll be reading a little bit longer today, and it's that's the end of that chapter. So we'll open and then we'll start the recitation. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين Page 160, More Conversations in English with Sheikh Mohammed in his Zawiya from 1974 through 1991. So it's a compilation of teachings. The chapter is entitled The Determination of Sufism. Sheikh al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu, said, Sufism is a science by which the states of purification of souls, clarification of characters, and the restoration of the outward and the inward are made known for the attainment of eternal bliss. Sheikh Ahmed Zuruk, radiallahu anhu, said, Sufism is a science that is pursued for the mending of hearts and for their setting apart from anything that is other than God, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the readjustment of works and the keeping of everything in the right order and the appearance of wisdom through degrees. The principles are the knowledge of unity, tawheed, for the realization of the foremost through proofs, and the establishment of belief through certainty, like medicine for bodies and grammar for the improvement of language. Imam Junaid, radiallahu anhu, said, Sufism is the application of all the high dispositions of character and the abandoning of all the lowly ones. Some of them said that Sufism is character completely. Excuse me. Thus, he who is superior to you in character is superior to you in Sufism. Some of them said Sufism is character completely. Thus, he who is superior to you in character is superior to you in Sufism. Abul Hasan Ash-Shadhuli said, Sufism is the accustoming of the soul to servanthood and its return to the decrees of the Lord. Ibn Ajib said, Sufism is a knowledge through which one knows the quality of walking towards the presence of the King of Kings, and the clearing of the interior from depravities and its adornment with manifold virtues. Its beginning is knowledge, and its middle is works, and its end is gift. The author of The Unveiling of Doubts, Kashf ad-Dhunun, the Haji Khalifa, said, It is a knowledge through which one knows the quality of progress of the people of perfection from the human form on the paths of their bliss. Then he said, The knowledge of Sufism is a knowledge known only by a man of intelligence familiar with truth. And he does not know it who is not witness to it. For how could a blind man witness the light of the sun? The pillar of Sufism is the cleaning of the heart from the filth of matter and the guardianship of the bond of man with the Almighty Creator. The Sufi is he who purifies his heart for God and whose conduct becomes pure for God. Then his esteem is made pure for him by God. Know that the method of Sufism revolves around correct faith, flawless seeing, discernment, and the unity of reality without imaginings. Then after that, around the discernment of what is permitted and forbidden, and what is incumbent, and which deeds and work must be avoided altogether. In other terms, Sufism is a genuine orientation towards Allah and the discernment of His brilliant actions that awaken knowledge of His essence and qualities, then gratitude to Him, fear of Allah, worship of Him in a pure and right manner, proceeding from perfect attentiveness and a faith that perceives the word of God, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surely in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alteration of the night and the day and the ships that run in the sea with what is useful to people and the water Allah has sent down from the heavens revolving the earth after she has been lifeless and scattering in her all kinds of beasts and in the changing of the winds and the submission of the clouds between the earth and the heaven are signs for people who understand. Quran 2:164. Those who remember Allah standing and sitting and lying on their sides and reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth, our Lord, you have not created this in vain. Glory be to you. Preserve us from the punishment of the fire. Quran 3:191. In the interpretation or application of the contents of this ayah of the glorious book, the correct worship alone is not enough. Its object is rather the contemplation of the workmanship of Allah and of that which He began and called into existence. The contemplation of the creation of the heavens and the earth, the constant remembering of Allah, the visitation of the watering places of piety, the devotion to the Creator with perfect obedience, and the avoidance of the watering places of sin. All of these properties belong to the backbone of Sufism and its principles. And if this is the case, then Sufism is the spirit of Islam and the core of its teachings, because in its correct meaning, the religion does not abandon complete faith and obedience with sincerity, nor perfect justification and conduct in life with perfect balance. Complete faith holds true only accompanied by essential discernment in created things and souls, without blind acceptance, until to the minds and the feelings the signs of Allah appear evident and incontestable for the discernment of the heart and thought together. Then the fundamentals of right and firm belief and the foundations of a pure Islam are built on that doctrine. Obedience is not dedicated to the face of Allah until the right intention is added to it. And the right intention is not truly so until the face of the one worshipped is sought after in a manner free from any blemishes, dissimulation, hypocrisy, or polytheism. This is what distinguishes the people of true Sufism in their beliefs and devotions, and their dealings with people, because the real Sufi spends the days of his life between the two different factors. If either of these two disappear from his witnessing, he will not be safe from its effect upon himself or upon his destiny with God. They are hope and fear. Fear of the power of Allah and hope for his mercy and forgiveness. As to religious law, for the Sufi it's the foundation of his knowledge and his deeds, since it is the law, the fiqh, in its correct meaning, namely complete comprehension of the knowledge of the orders of Allah in his book and in the sunnah of his messenger. The word for it is faqih, plural fuqaha, meaning fahima, which means understanding. Then it is the application of that understanding to deeds. There's a famous saying about that work without knowledge could not be, and knowledge without work is folly. In the field of knowledge, right people do not adopt the observing of the rules of fiqh. And Sufism, with its principles and branches, without having the right comprehension of its meaning, nor do they adopt devotion to its application and the acceptance of it without an appreciation of the designs and the goal of the lawgiver, contrary to certain falsely imagining scholars, the fuqaha, and outside Sufis who have knowledge but do not work according to their knowledge. And they know they do not understand the implications of their work to the extent that their work deviates from the name of loyalty and arrives disguised or at other things such as not fulfilling the goal and directing oneself to an intention that anticipates a reward from God. As it is said in the hadith, how many carry the knowledge, the fiqh, but do not understand it? True Islamic Sufism is the first objective of the Quran, the life of the Sunnah, and it is the totality of favors mentioned in His, subhanahu wa ta'ala's words. Today I have perfected your religion for you and completed my favor upon you. Quran 5:3. And it is the degree of Ihsan that comes after surrender, Islam, and belief, Iman, in progress. As it is said in the hadith narrated by Umar, that Jibreel said when the Messenger of Allah asked him about Ihsan, worship Allah as though you see him, and if you do not see him, surely he is seeing you. As to Sufism being the first objective of the Quran, there are two points to make. First, more than a third of the verses of the Quran urge the worship of Allah with excellent devotion and excellent work. This is Sufism, and this is supported by other ayat that mention those of insight, the truthful ones, the people of certainty and patience, the contented ones and the servants of the merciful, about whom Allah says to the shaitan, "Truly you have no power over my worshippers, save those of the deviants who will follow you," Quran 15:42. And the shaitan himself says, in his address to his Lord while accepting them, "Save for the sincere from among your worshippers," 15:40. Meaning those who you have made devout with piety. Also in the words of the exalted, people whom he loves and who love him, Quran 5:54. And his words, they are the partisans of Allah, Quran 58:22. And in his mentioning of the favor of the pious, truly the most honorable among you in the sight of Allah is the one who is most conscious of Allah, warding off evil from within and without, 49:13. And also his words, those who remember Allah standing and sitting and lying on their sides, Quran 3:191. And in addition, all the verses that encourage the contemplation of the creation of the heavens and the earth, the souls and the horizons in the Holy Quran. As to Sufism being the spirit of the Sunnah, it is known that the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is the way through his words and deeds, the way of rightness, or in other words, the straight path. The path of the truth is a way that has stations with Allah, and therefore the verses of the Quran mention the jihad, the battle against the self. He says, "As for those who strive for us, we shall surely guide them to our ways," 29:69. Then the exalted one speaks and says, "And surely Allah is with those who excel in doing good." It is also known that all of the law is his, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is his words. It is also known that all the law is his words, Muhammad alayhi salam, and that the way is his, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's deeds, and the truth is his, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's stations that result from these words and deeds. His, subhanahu wa ta'ala's, immaculate law is based on his, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's, words and deeds. The result of his devotion to Allah and his noble stations is piety and attentiveness leading to Allah. This is the unalterable result of his actions, and it is the highest example for the faith and insight of Islam. And with this, Sufism, beyond doubt, is the nearest point of return to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the method of reaching him. The second chapter is called The Signposts of the Way to God. In the Book of Allah, true Sufism leans on three ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, first, in Quran 29:69, "As for those who strive for us, we shall surely guide them to our ways, and surely Allah is with those who excel in doing good." And from 57:16, "Is it not time for the hearts that securely believe to yield themselves to the remembrance of Allah and the truth that he has set down?" And from 18:28, "And keep yourself steadfastly patient by keeping company with those who call upon their Lord in the morning and the evening, desiring his face, and do not let your eyes pass beyond them in desiring adornments of the worldly life." These are the people of the ranks As-Safa from among his noble companions, and say, "It is the truth from your Lord, so whoever wills, let him believe." Quran 18:29. In the first verse there is right guidance, or you could say the connecting link with Allah, that forms the complete way to God. And this is particularly in respect to those who strive in Allah against their own selves. The holy war is not confined to the war against the enemies of the religion, for it is said in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, "We have returned from the lesser war to the greater war." And when someone asked him what the greater war was, he said, "It is the war against the self." We have seen that the holy war extends to all of the enemies of Allah as the self that incites to evil, the nafs al-amara, and the shaitan. And he says, "Surely Allah is with those who excel in doing good." Quran 29:69. Thus companionship is only for the people who he loves them and they love him. Therefore it is only for those with insight, ihsan, from the people of Sufism. And we do not exclude the Muslims in general, and the believers in particular, on the basis of the hadith of Jibril, in which he explains the meaning of surrender, Islam, belief, Iman, and insight, Ihsan. In the second verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers, saying, "Is it not time for the hearts that securely believe?" 57:16. The believers are the elect among the Muslims. When he asks, "Is the time not ripe?" he means, has the opportunity not arrived or the time not come? Or have those who believe not learnt about the success granted by Allah to be among those of insight? Then, those whose hearts are submitted to the remembrance of God? This remembrance has been singled out because it is superior in glorification of Allah to other forms of worship, and even over the ritual prayer, the Salat, because despite its high rank, ritual prayer is part of the remembrance, and the remembrance is part of the ritual prayer. And this is the outside meaning of his words, "Surely the Salat preserves one from lewdness and evil, and the remembrance of Allah is greater." Quran 29:45. This means that the remembrance is greater in restraining and more exalted as a rank, meaning the remembrance by tongue and by heart and by spirit together. The meaning of the truth that he has sent down is all the thought, the fikr, the remembrance, the belief, the worship, and conduct that is revealed by God in his book. In other words, all that the messenger brought from Allah. The inward beliefs and outward practices and devotion, the right dealings with people, and the acquisition of sound character. In this second verse, there is a reminder, specification, and assessment about the emptying of hearts for Allah, the protection of his truth through love and fear of him, and the praising of his name. And at that point, only the people of true tasawwuf, Sufism, and the sincere servants of Allah are addressed. These are the people of the rank of insight, ihsan, and the companions of the gathering of the truth mentioned in his words, "My servants," and in the words of the shaitan to him, "Accept your servants." The personal pronouns here, "my," "inna ibadi," and "your," "illa ibadaka," both refer directly to the Lord of the truth. It is also important to know that before Jibril descended upon him with the revelation, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was ordered to worship in the cave of Hira by practicing remembrance and self-denial. O you enwrapped, keep vigil the night. Quran 73:1-2. and remember the name of your Lord and devote yourself to him with utter devotion. Quran 73:8. After Jibril descended upon the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the revelation, Allah sent the order for the third verse we are considering. And keep yourself steadfastly patient by keeping company with those who call upon their Lord in the morning and the evening, desiring his face. Quran 18:20. It is known that this address applied to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in particular, and to all the Muslims in general, at that time when Jibril descended upon him with the revelation and revealed the Quran to him. The bliss of the life of this world and the next also descended upon him. And this is the straight path, and it is also another expression for the way to God. In other words, the pure Islamic Sufism includes all the principles of belief and conduct of the truth. Therefore, we do not enter into furnishing any more proofs. Instead, we own the original book. And in it, Allah says, "You alone we worship, Allah, the Shariatan, and you alone we ask for help, a truth, Hakikatan, and guide us to the straight way, a way, Tariqatan, Katan." Quran 1, 5, and 6. All the rules of Sufism can be reduced to these words. Therefore, we say Sufism is the law, and it's the way, and it's the truth. The essence of this point of view is that Sufism aims at the formation of a religious and discerning personality that makes use of a mature reason, an intelligent heart, and a complete nature, and it derives its guidance from two sources that pour forth with heedfulness, the understanding of right conduct and wisdom. These two sources are the Quran and the authentic ahadith of the Prophet. The way of Sufism draws lines of attentive understanding around the sublime divine existence and the truth of our existence, and it connects the first possible existence, that is, man, with the supreme and pre-eternal creator. In other words, it connects the universal possibility of existence with the one necessary being on the basis of the unveiling of the highest truth. From another side, Sufism is that which harmoniously organizes obvious and clear beliefs which are incontestable and beyond dispute, and becomes accustomed to the manner of correct worship after removing the covers of discernment from the foundation of right conduct by waging war against the self. The second premise is for the understanding of the special characteristics of the one worshipped, so that the affairs of human existence are straightened according to the goal for which it was created. As the Almighty and All-Wise says in his Quran, "I did not create the jinn and the humans except to worship me. Neither do I want sustenance from them, nor do I want them to feed me." 51:56-7. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, commented on this saying, "The meaning of except to worship me is that they might know me." Right Sufism honors reason and esteems it highly, but addresses it from the heart. It highly praises thought as it harmonizes with it through the spirit, since the horizon of Sufism is in the world beyond reason. Right Sufism rejects aimlessness and fickleness, and has a distaste for the adornment of the garments of false righteousness. Preoccupation with the embellishment of the exterior can disfigure inward purity. Right Sufism removes glamour before the eyes of Allah and the eyes of righteous men, and fights faults that deviate in beliefs to the level of superstition. For example, some view divestment, tajrid, as being emptiness and sluggishness. Asceticism, zuhd, as extreme remoteness from the means of subsistence and poverty, faqr, as having no possessions. However, the aim of Sufism is being in total need of Allah. If Sufism takes possession of all that is in the world and of the glamour of the attachments man is fond of, and this pervades him with chaos and delusion, then it exceeds the bounds of the Sharia, and drums, wind instruments, and dance would also belong to these vanities. We have to eliminate true Sufism from all innovations and what they contain. We have already made the source of the existence of Sufism clear, that is, the Quran and the Sunnah of his messenger. Therefore, there is no ambiguity or confusion about what is pure in its foundation and what is vain and false and has deviated from its root. After this criterion is met, the sincere Sufi must be predisposed to become qualified as a Sufi of knowledge, searching after the lights of the divine truth and the manifestation of these lights beyond, behind the appearances of the transient universe. If he does not equip himself with that which will bring him close to that truth and make him approach it, that is, taking refuge in the book and the sunnah, then without doubt the shaitan will strike him with deluded vision whenever things seen and witnessed converge upon him. Therefore, he must equip himself with knowledge and gnosis to a sufficient measure and understand the aim and the meaning of the law with that insight which he refers to in his words, "No one remembers save those who understand," Quran 2:269. And also with all the things of heaven and earth that surround him in compliance with his words. Say, "Travel the earth and see how he began the creation. Then Allah brings into being the final birth. Surely Allah has power over all things," Quran 29:20. From this consideration follows the necessity of understanding and becoming acquainted with most of the facts of relative existence, because this is the door to the knowledge of truth needed for unveiling. As he says in his book, "We shall show them our signs of the horizons and in themselves until it becomes clear to them that this is the truth," Quran 41:53. This is unlike what some of those who do not know say about Sufism. It is not just independence from the means of subsistence or the exclusive occupation with devotion and worship under the name of asceticism. Also, it is not bound to mortification of the flesh and idle asceticism, because the renunciation, the zuhd, of the Sufi lies in his heart and not in that which his hands possess. There is no renunciation of the adornment of Allah, which he has displayed for his servants, nor in the delights of his sustenance. After the dedication of the service of his limbs, which is the order of the law, the worship of the Sufi is through remembrance and reflection, which has also been ordered. Sufism, in essence and content, is a spirit of knowledge, remembrance, and reflection. It is a beautiful, illuminated, and translucent spirit which takes its existence from spiritual purity and originates from working according to the law. It needs no veils or covers to embellish itself outwardly, or to cast false light upon itself, because the fruit of light appears from the truth to the servant, and spreads the light over emotion and over reason and over spirit. The servant swims in the vastness of the universal existence as Allah wants, not as he likes for himself or as his illusion or fantasy, which is concerned with appearances. As a technical term, Sufism means to be with Allah unconditionally. This denotes a noble character, appearing in a noble time, among noble people. It is called the abandonment of the self as he wants, which is the seizing of truth and the relinquishing of it dependence upon that which is in the hands of creatures. And the Sufi is permanently linked with the truth, as he says, I have chosen you for myself. The Multasawwif Sufi obligates himself to the performance of all that Islam has brought to him. This is because there's no Sufism except through jurisprudence, fiqh. That is knowledge and understanding, since the outer decrees of Allah are only known from this. Also, there is no fiqh except through Sufism, because there are no works unless they have correct orientation. And both exist only through belief, because without belief, neither would hold true. Their gathering is necessary because they are incapable of being separate in the decree, just as there would be no existence for spirits without a body. There's no perfection of forms except through spirits. Imam Malik radiallahu anhu said, he who practices Sufism but not the fiqh is a heretic, tazandak, and he who practices the fiqh but not Sufism goes astray. He who joins the two comes to the truth. The first speaks through belief in predestination, jabr, causing a rejection of wisdom and decree. The second goes astray because of the absence of his knowledge from a correct orientation that would restrain him from disobedience against God, and the absence of sincerity made conditional for deeds. The third comes to the truth because he stands upon reality, holding on to the truth. The content of this reality is the sublime essence, because he searches for its knowledge, not the knowledge of its nature, through proof and witnessing and sight. It has been said that its content is souls, hearts, and spirits, because it searches after the purification and refinement, because he who knows himself knows his Lord. The author of this knowledge is our Master Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah instructed him through revelation, wahi, and inspiration, ilham. And Jibril first descended upon him with the law, the sharia. When that had settled, he came a second time with the truth and favored some in preference to others. The first one to speak about these matters was our Master Ali, radiallahu anhu, and from him, our Masters Hassan and Hussein took it, and then Hassan al-Basri, radiallahu anhu. The derivation of Sufism is taken from the book and the Sunnah, and the inspirations of the righteous ones, and the unveilings of the Gnostics, and decree of divine legislation is taken from the Imam al-Ghazali, the proof of Islam, radiallahu anhu, who said, Sufism is an individual duty because no one is free from fault and illness except the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Imam Abu Hassan al-Shadhuli, radiallahu anhu, said, he who has not penetrated our knowledge will die persisting in great sins while being aware of it. And because it is an individual duty, the traveling to someone from whom one can take is incumbent when he is known through teachings and when the medicine from his heart is renowned, for he is the physician of the self, of the heart and spirit. As to the benefits of Sufism, It is the correction of hearts and the gnosis of the knowers of the unseen. Its fruit is the generosity of selves and the integrity of hearts, sudur. That is an excellent character in regard to all creatures. The knowledge of Sufism has three parts, of which the first is the work of the law, the sharia, the work of the way, the tariqa, and the work of the truth, the hakika. Or you could say the work of insight, ihsan. Or you could say the work of worship, the work of servanthood, and the work of the outside law, the surah, which is freedom. Or you could say the work of the people of the beginning, of the people of the middle, and the people of the end. That is the law that you cross to it, the way that you pursue it, and the truth that you witness from it. Or you could say the law for the restoration of the exteriors, the zahir, the way for the restoration of the hearts, the danair, and the truth for the restoration of the secrets, the sarair. The restoration of the limbs is through repentance and is through purity and uprightness, istikana. The restoration of the hearts, the kulub, is through three things: sincerity, ikhlas, honesty, sidq, and tranquility. The restoration of the secrets is through three things: attentiveness, muraqabah, witnessing, mushahada, and provisions of knowledge. Or you could say the restoration of the exteriors is through Islam, through the avoidance of prohibitions and submission to orders. The restoration of the hearts is through faith and leaving depravities and adorning with manifold virtues. The restoration of the secrets is through ihsan, by refinement of the spirit, through the politeness and humility of excellent morality. Let it be known that he whose beginning is illuminated, his end is illuminated. Therefore, he does not move to the work of the way until he has succeeded in the work of the law, and his limbs have walked along so that he fulfills repentance with its conditions, piety with its pillars, and uprightness with its parts. And this is following the example of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his words and in his deeds and in his stations. And when he purifies the outside and enlightens it through the law, then he moves from the work of the outer law to the work of the inner way. And this is the cleaning of the human qualities. When his human qualities are cleaned, he becomes graced with the qualities of spirituality. And this is the politeness with God in his revelations, with which are his appearances. Then his limbs find rest from toils, and only perfect manners remain. Know that for him who reaches the reality of Islam, the meaning is not to leave it, and there is no permission to be slack in working. And for him who reaches the reality of belief, it's not permitted for him to leave it, because he cannot turn toward work except through Allah. And for him who reaches the reality of ihsan, he cannot turn to anyone but Allah, for he is obligated to his decrees in their whole and in their parts, in Islam, in Iman, and in Ihsan. Alhamdulillah, that brings us to the bottom of 174. The next installment will be the chapter about spirits, jinn, shaitan, and the holy freedom of the beloved of Allah. Inshallah. Next. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.